Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Today we welcome everyone to our service, and we do trust that God will bless you as we meet around His Word, and that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted in the preaching of the Gospel. Now our scripture reading is taken from the Old Testament. I invite you to open your Bible in the first book of Samuel and the third chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and commencing to read at the verse 1. And we read, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou called me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee again, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Ending our reading there, verse 10, and we know that God is always pleased to bless His own precious word to our hearts. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can draw nigh into Thy holy presence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for Thy beloved Son. We bless You, Lord, for the glorious message of the Gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And now, our Father, we pray that as we come to the preaching of Thy Word and the exposition of divine truth, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may descend and anoint us afresh to preach Thy Word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take His own sword, the sword of the Spirit, and apply it with power and with blessing and with fruitfulness to every heart. So, Lord, hear our prayer and abide with us, for we ask it all in the Lord's name and for His sake. Amen. As you read through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that the Bible is a divine record of God calling men and women to Himself. The first call that was ever given in the Bible was given to Adam and Eve after they had sinned. And God came into the garden at the cool of the day. And as a father would cry out for a lost child, He cried, Adam, where art thou? And that was the first call that was ever given to fallen humanity. It was given after the sin of Adam. And as you read through the scriptures, you'll find how that God again and again was pleased to call men and women to himself. He called Noah in a day of great wickedness to be a preacher of righteousness. We're told how that he called Abraham, that the Lord of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And Abraham was called out of darkness into light. We have that remarkable story of Moses at the burning bush, 80 years of age, had made a mess of his life. And the God of glory appeared and he called unto Moses. And we find how that the Lord drew Moses to himself and recommissioned him, and that he was remade and sent forth into the Lord's work to be the Savior and Deliverer of the nation of Israel. We have that wonderful story of Isaiah in the temple in the year that King Uzziah died. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up upon his glory, that he heard the voice of God saying, "Who will go for us?" And he answered the call, and he said, "Here am I, send me." Then we move into the Gospels, and we have the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how again and again the Master, with that divine voice, was calling men and women to himself. He came down by the Sea of Galilee, and he said to the disciples, these early fishermen who were to become the disciples of the Master, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they forsook their nets, is the word of God, and they followed him. And often we read stories of how that he called individuals to himself. One day, as he was making his final trip through the city of Jericho, there was a little man by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was looking down from a tree, and the Lord came, and he stopped, and he called, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And the Bible says that he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And even then, as you come to the last chapter of the Bible, we find that God in grace, mercy and love is still calling men and women to himself. And the final call is given in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now in the portion that we read together, we have the story of how God called Samuel to himself. I believe it's an illustration of the effectual call of the gospel and what happens when the Spirit of God is working upon a heart and when God is drawing a soul to himself. And I want you just to consider with me some of the characteristics of this call. And I want you to see, first of all, who God called. If you look there in verse 7, we have these words, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." And here we have young Samuel in the temple in the house of God, and the call of God in the darkness of the night comes to the heart of young Samuel. Now you'll notice how the Spirit of God, through God's word, records the fact that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that Samuel didn't know all about the Lord. As he sat at the feet of Eli, the prophet of God, he would have heard the story of creation, the fall of our first parents, the story of Noah and how he built the ark in his day. He would have learned about the wonderful story of Abraham, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, and how that God called Abraham to be the father of the Hebrew nation. And we could go right through how that young Samuel had learned all about the Lord. He would have known about Moses at the burning bush, and how that God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel in a miraculous way out of the iron furnace of the land of Egypt. And so there was much that he knew about the Lord. But the tragedy was this, that he did not yet know the Lord experimentally, believingly, savingly within his heart. And it's possible to know all about someone and yet not to know that someone in a personal way. I suppose most of us could say we know quite a lot about Her Majesty the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, who she is and how she lives and all that takes place in her life and her family. And yet we couldn't individually say that we know Her Majesty the Queen. And so it was similar with young Samuel here in the temple, knew all about the Lord, but didn't know the Lord. And maybe that's someone even in our service that is listening to the Word of God. You know all about the Lord. You have a head knowledge, but you don't have an experience of God's grace in your heart as a sinner. C.H. Spurgeon one evening preached a powerful gospel message. And after the service, a lady, a business lady, asked if she could meet with a great preacher and should something she would like to ask him. And Spurgeon conceded, and she was invited into his study to speak to the great preacher. And she looked at Mr. Spurgeon and she said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I have a question to ask you." He said, "What is it?" "Well," she said, "I have a servant girl by the name of Molly. She's a vine Christian. She comes here to your church, and she's a very hard working girl, and she's a believer. My question for you, Mr. Spurgeon, is this: if I'm going to be saved, do I have to get saved the same way as Molly, my servant girl?" And Spurgeon, without compromise, looked her straight in the face, and he said, "Yes, you have to get saved the same way as Molly, your servant girl." The lady rose to her feet, and in anger she looked at Spurgeon, and she said, "Mr. Spurgeon, let me tell you, if I've got to get saved like Molly, my servant girl, I will never be saved." And she stepped out into the darkness of the night, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the first step in God's salvation is that you acknowledge you're a sinner. The Lord Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He also said that they that are whole need not a physician. And if you're not prepared to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of God's mercy, then the Bible is a closed book and there's no message of salvation for you. You see, Christ Jesus came into the world for to save sinners. And it's only as you take the sinner's place and cry out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," that you could know the joy and the peace and the pardon of God's so great salvation. Who God called? He called Samuel the sinner. And then I want you to see also with me how God called. Because we read very clearly here the process of how God called Samuel to himself. And you'll notice first of all that the Lord called him individually. Called him individually. Called him by his name. He says in his word, "I have called thee by thy name." And three times and more, we read of how the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel as an individual was called to the Lord. And how important it is to understand that salvation is the most individual thing in the life. In life, you can only be saved, washed in the blood and reach heaven as you come as an individual to the cross. Some years ago in Glasgow, in the days when they had bus conductors on the buses, there was a group of fellows got on the bus and they got into the back seat and they were carrying on and laughing among themselves. One of them recognized the conductor of the bus as he made his way down to where they were sitting. And as he came to this group of young fellows, one of them spoke up, the ringleader, and he said, "Hey boy, give us a ticket for heaven. Give us a ticket for heaven." Everybody laughed and roared and thought it was a great joke. And the old godly Christian bus conductor paused and he said, "Son, I can only take you as far as Calvary. And when you get to the cross, it's between you and the Savior." And that's all the preacher can do. The preacher cannot save you. This is why we preach Christ and Him crucified, for He is the one who was able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. There's no such a thing as a ticket for heaven. You've got to come individually to the cross. But then you'll notice that the Lord not only called them individually, but the Lord called them continually. That was a tremendous fact. Not once, twice, three times, but again and again, the voice of God broke the silence and the darkness of the night as the Lord in grace was calling young Samuel to Himself. And possibly, as you listen to the Word of God, you can look back over your life and you can read the pages of the library of your mind. And you can think of different occasions when God came and He spoke to your heart. Perhaps when you were a child and your mother's knee, you first learned the way of salvation. Again, perhaps it was in Sunday school. You had a godly Sunday school teacher who opened up the Word of God and faithfully showed you the way of salvation from the Scriptures of truth. Or perhaps on other occasions you attended a gospel service and God was pleased to speak to your heart and you heard the voice of God. God called them continually, and how good and how long-suffering God has been towards you in your life as the Lord has called you again and again. But four times we read in the Word of God those words, "Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart." It's possible to harden your heart. And the Bible says, "He that often hath been reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." How do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline just now. The Lord called him continually. Oh, He's the God of all patience, who called again and again. But I want you to notice also here that the Lord not only called them individually and called them continually, but the Lord called them personally. That is, that the Lord personally called Samuel. I think verse 10 of our scripture reading is one of the most remarkable verses in the whole of the Bible. Listen to what it says. "And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." And I want you to grasp the significance of those words. "And the Lord came and stood." And here we have a pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord of glory, who created heaven and earth in 6 days, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Can you see the picture here in your mind of the Lord of glory appearing to the child Samuel in the temple? I believe it's a picture that no artist could paint. And what a wonderful thing it is that the Lord, in love and grace and mercy, comes and calls you to Himself. When I was a young believer growing up in Belfast, I got converted when I was 17 years of age. And it was a time when there was giants in the land, spiritually great men of God and the denominations preaching the Word of God. And among them was two brethren evangelists. One was Harold Paisley, the brother of Dr. Paisley. And another one was Frank Knox, the brethren evangelist. And two of these men were as apodous as cheese and chalk in their presentation of the Word of God, but both were great preachers of the Word of God. And it was a privilege in the great tent in High Street in Belfast to attend a 6 week gospel campaigns and hear the Word of God being preached. Frank Knox was a very peculiar preacher. He would keep a glass of water in the pulpit, and every now and again he would flick a little water out of the glass and he would say, "There'll be none of that in hell. There'll be no water in hell." And then he would go on and preach. And one night I heard him make the statement, I never forgot it, as a young 17-year-old teenager. And he said, "You know, there's some of you here in this tent tonight, and what you will do for your dog, you're not prepared to do for the Lord Jesus Christ." And you talk about your ears picking up to hear what he was going to say. And old Frank went on to explain. He said, "You know, if you have a dog and it came to the door and it barked and it wanted in, what do? He said, "You get up and you open the door and you invite and you let the dog in." And he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and died on the middle cross for you, comes and he knocks at your heart's door. And he says, 'Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.'" And in his own unique fashion, he looked at the congregation, and he said, "How sad it is what you would do for your dog, you're not prepared to do for Jesus." Not a tragedy? Wonder, will you say tonight at the heart's door, the Savior's knocking at the heart's door, fast closed by sin. Can't you hear him gently pleading, "Draw the bolt and let me in." And the bolt's on the inside of the door. And only you, by faith and repentance, can open that door and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But one final thought. Where was Samuel called? We're told, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Samuel was in the temple. Now, a person can get saved anywhere. I've heard of a person getting saved on a plane, down in a coal mine, in all sorts of places. No limitation to the place where you can be saved. But here, I believe, in a special way, God uses the house of God, the temple of God, for the salvation of souls. Because that's the place where the Word of God is preached. And the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise on the salvation. And I wonder how often you've attended church, you've heard the message of the gospel, and you've hardened your heart and went out rejecting the Savior. He was saved in the house of God. It was not only the place where the Word of God was, it's also the place where prayer was offered up. My house shall be called the house of prayer by all nations. I believe behind every conversion there's someone who's prayed. Someone who has paid the price in prayer. The late Ivan Thompson was having a mission. The mission was coming to an end, and there was a young man who attended every night. And the young man, as he was going out of the meeting, Ivan said to him, "Excuse me," but he said, "Do you know your mother's praying for you every night?" And the young man burst out laughing and sneering in his face. And as Ivan took him by the hand and didn't let go, he looked into the young man's eyes and he said, "Remember this, young man, your mother's prayers will either bless you in heaven or they will blister you in hell for all eternity." I wonder, as you listen to the sound of my voice, is there someone, a godly mother and father, has prayed for you? Thank God that prayer can be answered here and now. For the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." May the Lord help you to call upon His name. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Almighty God and eternal Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee after the preaching of Thy word, we do pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might bless the word of God to every heart, and especially the hearts of those who are not saved. Thank you, Lord, that the door of mercy is still open, and Lord, that you're still calling men and women to thyself. And we do pray, Lord, that some soul might cry out, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." We think of the words of the old Puritan preacher, John Bunyan, "Come, and a thousand welcomes to Christ." Lord, help some soul to come to Christ even now. Part us with your blessing and bless your word for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.